Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. And I want to take a look down here at some of the guys that are going to be free agents here for the wide receiver position. And I think this could potentially shape into some of what we've seen in the marketplace with trade demands and actual trades occurring so far. There's still some of that left unattended to in terms of rookie contract extensions. So, namely, Terry McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Hunter Renfro as well. Jacoby Myers to a lesser extent as well. Those are the, I would consider, like the big tranche of those 2019 guys who haven't yet been paid that are still out there to be paid. Some of the vets, AJ Green, Lazard playing on a contract year, could be interesting this year. Nelson Aguilar, Landry playing year to year, Juju Smith-Schuster. And I saw an interesting one on Smith-Schuster today, or I guess yesterday. I'm recording this late Sunday into Monday morning. And I was just, I think it was Ian Kenyon, at Ian Kenyon NFL, said there's a 25-year-old wide receiver with two 95-plus reception seasons on his resume, currently locked into a top two wide receiver role with the NFL's best quarterback currently being drafted as the wide receiver 39 in Dynasty. So that tells you pretty much all you need to know about where Juju is. And I thought that was interesting. DJ Shark there as well. And Sterling Shepard as well as as a vet on coming up towards free agency there. Hopkins, so I'll walk through some of the potential cuts here. Hopkins, $30.75 million is his cap hit next year. He has a dead cap figure of 22.6. They could save over $8 million in cutting him. And I think, I haven't seen the specifics on this, but typically the base contract, if you will, the standardized contract for these guys includes voiding of any guarantees if you are signed, if you are suspended. So I would expect that to be the case with Hopkins. That's a typical, it's called like the boilerplate contract term there. So I'd expect that to be the case for Hopkins. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to, at this point in his contract, play into anything super fundamental in terms of their decision to move on from him or anything like that. But it's just a watch situation. Calvin Ridley, $11.1 million base salary in 2023. What would be interesting, I don't know if this is going to be, if it's going to play out this way, because it frankly, it probably won't, because there should be some trade demand for him. But I, even though his fifth year option should be guaranteed, it might not be because he was suspended. So that's one I think that's interesting in terms of how that'll all play out. Robbie Anderson's the next one up. He's got a cap hit of $21.7 million next year, 9.7 dead. They could save $12 million. I would expect that to be a certainty. That said, I think he's interesting from way outside the top 60 or so wide receivers. He could be an interesting guy that could draw 100 targets. So if you're going shopping for that, they might not necessarily be good targets. He might be disappointing on those targets. But if you're shopping for targets, I think that's an interesting one. Tyler Boyd, and this is one that's fascinating, and it's always, you got to be careful what you criticize at the moment, because a couple years from now it might come back around and you'd be like, wow, it's actually entirely different of a contract versus the market than we thought it would be. For example, that paying Dak Prescott's like $35 million a year, you'd be like, wow, that's a lot of money. Now everyone's getting paid 40, and you're like, oh wait, I'm getting a $5 million discount on Dak Prescott versus Kyler Murray versus whoever, right? Like that's the starting point, the discount. Like that's actually pretty good. And that's one of those things with Boyd. Yeah, they could save $8.9 million cutting him. Like if they're going to go back out to the market and try and get a Tyler Boyd replacement, there's almost no chance in this given wide receiver market that they're going to get 10 points. They're going to get it with that $8.9 million savings. It's almost no way that it's possible, right? You look at guys in the same type of vein, pedigree-wise, a little bit different player, but similar pedigree-wise is Christian Kirk. We saw him get paid basically $10 million more a year than what Tyler Boyd's being paid. Just a remarkable transformation in terms of what the wide receiver market has been at. So actually, that Tyler Boyd contract is actually pretty valuable at this point. Amari Cooper, he's an interesting one. He's due almost $24 million cap hit. 15 of that's dead. They could save $8.7 million. That's in 2023. In 2024, same number in terms of cap hit, almost $24 million. They could save $12.4 million of that. So it's probably more of a 2024 type deal. What would be interesting is if they were to actually – this is set up for them to figure this out with him. Listen, we'll guarantee a couple years. You know, let's massage this number around and get this thing refigured out. That seems like it's a little bit more likely than maybe him playing out this deal at like a, you know, $24 million cap hit. They could figure something out where they guarantee him some money and move around the numbers a little bit and bring his cap number way down, which is what I would expect. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, $11 million cap hit next year. Four of it, it's dead. They could save $7 million. So if this is a failed experiment, it's actually not that bad in terms of what it could potentially cost them. Cost them even less if they waited until training camp or something to cut them after June 1. This is the most surprising thing. I've gone through basically all the positions, and on top of the Tom Brady franchise tag disclaimer clause, I don't know, that you can't franchise tag me clause in his contract, the most interesting one was actually Devontae Adams, because the Brady one, to me, it was like, wow, okay, like he's actually thought ahead another year. And it's, everyone's like, oh, he can just keep playing. And you're like, yeah, well, maybe he can, but like he's not a young man. But there was intentionality to the I want my options to be open, very similar to the way there was intentionality to the I want my options to be open when he was negotiating in New England. And so, you know, is he so that's the deal with Brady. With Adams, it's interesting. The 2022 salary is guaranteed. He's got a 20.5 million dollar roster bonus in 2023, and they could save $15 million of his $30.5 million cap hit in 2023 by cutting him before that date. And there's basically nothing guaranteed outside of basically this year until that roster bonus kicks in next year. So this contract really, there's some dead money that you have to take, but it is really a one-year deal with basically an option after this year to basically kick in, you know, to basically kind of make it cost prohibitive on cutting him after this year. Like, it'd be a lot of money sort of sunk into that. You know, he would make let's put it this way, he would make a lot of money in the 2023 calendar year, and it would make it probably tough from a sunk cost perspective to move on from him after that 2023 year. Listen, I think Adams is probably there for the long haul, but they've done a really good job of protecting themselves, both on the Carr deal and on the Adams deal. And this Adams deal is ripe for some sort of restructure after this year. It is ripe for figuring this thing out. Again, I don't think they're going to cut him or anything like that, but this thing is, it's structured in a way that is, it just curious. And again, if you're sort of trying to protect yourself with a 30-year-old wide receiver, this would be what it would look like. And I think that it's pretty interesting they paid what they did and then structured his contract the way they did. Again, it could force him to basically, you know, be, you know, it could basically be forcing bringing himself back to the table again next year to potentially move the deal around. Like, he could have potentially wanted the structure of this, but I just thought it was really interesting because you don't usually see guys with that roster bonus after year one. You know what struck me? Because it's actually very similar to what Tennessee did with Ryan Tannehill, where it was almost a very similar deal, where he signed his thing, and really it was a huge roster bonus that basically kicked in after the first year. So they could have gotten out of him if they wanted to, but they didn't. So just a really interesting structure there. It just piqued my eye just enough to say, huh. Because, again, he will be 30 in December. So, again, I don't think that they're writing him off or anything like that. Like, I think that they made this investment and they want him. But if you were to sort of be like, hey, we're not entirely sure how this alpha wide receiver is going to transition to a different quarterback that's lesser than Rodgers and, you know, to a new system, to a new coaching staff. Like, we don't know what that's going to look like. Let's leave ourselves some options. This is how you would do it. So Keenan Allen's under contract through 2024. He's got a $12.7 million cap hit next year, 6.9%, $6.9 million is dead. So a good, healthy amount could be saved by cutting him. Maybe a restructure, something's in order for him there. But it's interesting, and I found this one interesting the whole way through, that they kept being linked to wide receiver in the draft. And I couldn't figure out if it was, hey, they want a wide receiver for redundancy purposes, right? We need three wide receivers. Like, we don't have a great tight end situation. We really want to, you know, leverage what we have in Herbert. Or was it, hey, we need to sort of think about the next phase of this offense next year, kind of when we're trying to move on from Keenan Allen? It was a really interesting data point that I wasn't sure where it was coming from. And if it was, they were, the, you know, people in the media getting information, or if it was, you know, people just speculating, or whatever it was really interesting that there's a lot of that linkage. So I think Keenan Allen's really good, and I think he'd find a home if for some reason he was cut next year or something like that. And plus, you got a quarterback and a rookie deal, they can afford him. You know, generally speaking, you can figure out a way to make that work. I just thought it was interesting. I don't think he's probably going anywhere, but that and there was enough of that, hey, they need to have a need at receiver going around, that was just like, after you paid Mike Williams and you've got someone that's at 30, you know, that on that wrong side of that threshold, like, interesting. Like, it's just an interesting continued storyline that played out over weeks and months, really. And then Adam Thielen, just below $20 million of a cap hit next year. Basically, two-thirds of it is dead. They could save $6.4 million, and they got $13.5 million of dead. So we'll see what this, again, this team is going to, at some point, and it could be a little bit like Atlanta, where at some point you're going to need to take your medicine, or you're going to kind of need to, you're going to be middling, and this could be one of those, if you're a new front office, you just say, all right, like, we're going to roll this over. We're going to just kind of play this out. Or you're like, all right, we're going to kind of rip the Band-Aid off and just eat some of the problems that we have right now and clear the cap for the future. I'd be interested to see, like, how this plays. Like, that Minnesota, their approach to this, their structure of this front office and this team is going to be really fascinating to watch. Kenny Galladay, 14, that's just a horrible deal. $14.7 million dead cap. After or in 2023, they could save $6.7 million. Again, so the cap hits north of $21 million. So he's as good as gone, but man, it's a lot of dead cap to take. Corey Davis is interesting. They could, again, this struck me like Tyler Boyd, where they could potentially cut him. And this is the Jets and the Chargers are an interesting comp, because there was a lot of that same, hey, they need to draft a wide receiver type deal with the Jets, and they ultimately did, And then you're like, all right, he's a little bit duplicative of Corey Davis. And you're like, all right, well, maybe they'll move on after Corey Davis after this year. He still has another year on his contract. But then you go back and you look and you're like, all right, the final year of that contract, which would be 2023, it's $11.2 million. You're like, again, in a world where Christian Kirk's making 20, a Corey Davis $11.2 million cap hit is very reasonable. And it's an interesting, as you look at some of these deals, the ones that looked bad a couple years ago, with the exception of Kenny Galladay, have some of them have turned out good. And Kenny Galladay is the exception where he was actually on the wrong side of it. So it'd be interesting there with what Corey Davis's role will look like. And then lastly here, Curtis Samuel, $13 million cap hit. They could save basically almost six of that and take a $7 million dead cap charge. What a terrible signing that was. Like, some of these were, like, the finance of these all looked not horrible now. Like, they actually, a lot of them are like, oh, okay, like, that's pretty reasonable versus what's happening at this point in the market. But there were some that were just bad, and the Curtis Samuel one was definitely one that was bad. So I expect him to potentially be on the waivers or in free agency again after this offseason. So, again, they went back and readdressed the position with another first rounder, a la what the Jets did. So that's keep adding at the position, and that's something that watching how these teams structure this, it's pretty telling about where the NFL is going, because even teams that just made investments of it are kind of doubling down. I will do it for the wide receiver position, the contractual rundown. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.